First chapter of Joshua. And I'm hoping that this will be a learning lesson, also an uplifting lesson to a certain degree, that would help us to realize some things that God wants us to be and do. Now, one thing I want to bring out, and this is, I want you to understand this, and it goes along with a lesson, is the trials and the troubles that the church faces today. We face more today than I can ever remember. We deal with more sin in our country than I can ever remember. Our children face more than I ever faced. And what it actually boils down to is we're in spiritual battle for our country, for our churches, for our families. We're in a spiritual battle, and unfortunately, most Christians do not realize the extent of the battle that we're in and the responsibility that you and I have as a Christian to be in this battle and to fight the fight and the fight of faith that you and I are going to have to deal with on a continual basis. Not only that, it's going to get worse, according to the book. And as we deal with this, there's only a few things that I know. I'll just be honest with you. When I watch the news, I get depressed. I get upset. And I'm like a lot of people. I just want to kind of stick my head in the sand and say, what in the world is wrong with these people? Why can't they see what they're doing? But it goes back, when I grew up, I'll just be honest with you, I never heard, what little I went to church, I never heard the church praying for the country. After I got up, I never thought about it, even when I first joined the church and got right with the good Lord, then joined church. Let me rephrase that, get that right. I know we didn't pray much for our country. But as time has went on, things have changed so much, and the trials and the troubles that you face, that I face with my children and my grandchildren, and I feel sorry for them. I'm on up there, and I'll have maybe a few more years if the good Lord willing. And if you don't, that's okay, because I know where I'm going. But the thing about it is, I feel sorry for them. And I'm going to make a statement, and I'm not trying to make light or offend anybody. When I grew up, I never heard of a gay person until I was in my late teens. I didn't even know what it was. Never heard of it. Never was brought up. Never was mentioned. And now, what we face, what they need is a Savior. I know that. And I'm more than glad to pray for them and wish God would deal with them and hope God deals with them. Because they need a Savior, just like we did. But we're no different than they are. I look back and, oh, the heathen that I was, I still don't understand why God saved me. I'll just be honest with you. And still don't understand why He deals with me the way He does. I just don't. But anyway, let's get into the lesson. But this is a prelude kind of to the lesson. And I'm going to give you a little background of Joshua here in just a second. But I want to start in verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt abide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. But I want you to take notice something. The first verse he said, be strong and of good courage. The next here he said, be thou only strong and very courageous. I want you to take notice of that. In other words, it's a step up. You're going to have to strengthen a little bit more as time goes on, to me, as I look at this. As we go on, when Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it from the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. The book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong, of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. I want you to kind of underline that word, dismayed. For the Lord the God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now there's a parallel here between Joshua and the church. And I want to bring out some things. And I had a little thought. Would you do the commandment of God? Is the little thought I had with this lesson. You know, you talk about serving God, and we talk about works, and we talk about a lot of different things. Now, this is not about a lesson of salvation, but it is a lesson about doing, about working, doing the commandment that God has commanded you and me to do. Now, Joshua, his name means Jehovah saves. That's the Old Testament. The same word in the New Testament is Jesus saves. See, there's a parallel here as we look at this. Joshua was a man of courage. He depended upon God with faith, and he run to the battle. You remember him and Caleb was the only ones out of the 12 spies that stood and said, hey, let's go. We can take them. But not the others. They had unbelief. Now, the book of Joshua is a very practical application to the believer today as we look at this. The promised land. Now, I know there's a lot of songs, and don't take me wrong here. Well, we're going over to the promised land. Well, when I think of going over to the promised land, it's not down here. I'm thinking about up there. That's the promised land. But here, Joshua and them, God told them to go over. It was go over Jordan. It was land that they were going to possess. But they had to do something to possess it. They had to fight for it. They had to get in the battle. They had things they had to do to in order to achieve this land. And the last lesson I taught is God promised Israel there was 300,000 acres, and they only got 30. Now, if you look at church today, and the battle that we're in with our country and with our children and the things that we face, how much are we winning and how much are we losing? Now, I want you to think about that just for a minute. Let that really sink in. Because the land of Canaan is not the promised land for you and I. This earth is not the promised land for you and I. But while we are here, you and I already know we're going to heaven because we're saved, we're born again. This does not have anything to do with salvation. But it has to do with our works and our spiritual battles that you're going to face on a daily basis with your children, your grandchildren, your home, your family, because there's nothing wrong this day and age in our society. Everything is okay. Not when I grew up, but it is today. Thing about it is you and I are the ones are going, and the church is going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to face it. Now, there's a lot of different types of spiritual battles that we have. Also, the number one thing I want you to realize, when you get in a spiritual battle, you will not win your spiritual battle through your flesh, through your own thoughts. It's going to be a spiritual battle because we fight spiritual battles, not fleshly battles, spiritual battles. We done won over the flesh in all reality because we're saved. We're born again. Death does not have dominion over you and I. We have been set free from sin. I didn't say we didn't sin. I said we have been set free from it. And there is a difference as we look at this. Now, there's so much to this lesson. It's unreal. I hope I can get through this lesson. Now, also, just as Israel had to fight to win their possessions, so you and I are going to have to fight to win our spiritual battles. Now, how many spiritual battles do you actually win, and how many do you lose? Now, I'll be honest with you. I think I have lost more than I have won. Because I've hit the ground so hard, I didn't think I was ever going to get up. Not only once, several times. But the thing about through it is, God is always teaching you, training you through conflict, through battles. When things are going great, we're just happy little campers. Only when the storms come, only when the trials come, and the troubles and the tribulations, I'm the first one, we gripe, we moan, we complain, we wonder why everybody, heathens, I'll put it to you this way, is doing so good. But you got to realize, we have so much more than what they actually have. We're the ones that are rich, and they're the ones that are poor. They may have possessions here, but they don't have the promised land. You and I do. So we got to get in this battle very strongly. Now, first thing I want to say is, and I'll get this out of the way, Christians do not want to obey the rules that the church usually has for them. Everybody wants to do things their own way. As a whole, the good Lord has put me in work in Sunday school ever since I've been a Christian. I've worked in Sunday school. I've done a little bit of everything in Sunday school that could be done at one time or another. One thing I found, and I'm not talking about this church here, and I want you to realize that, because I don't even know how the classes are set up here. I haven't asked. I don't have children in the classes. God's given me right here to help teach this group of people. That's my job. No more, no less. That's it. It's that simple. And I try to keep it simple. But, for an example, if you have, say, first and second grade group together, third and fourth grade group together, fifth and sixth grade, seventh and eighth, ninth through the 12th. And that's kind of how we had things set up at other churches that I have been. Now, the problem that you run into is, first thing you know, somebody's took their kids out of second grade and moved them up to third before they're supposed to. Didn't ask nobody, just done it. Because their kids are special. Their kids are better. Well, that's a spiritual battle where you realize it or not that they face, that they have to deal with. Because, in my opinion, God has got to be first, family second, job third. That's the way I believe it, and that's the way I see it. Because it has to be that way. If God ain't first, He don't come in second. And the problem is when people do these things, and I'm talking about Christians, and you talk to them and you try to explain things to them, oh boy, they get bent out of shape. They get ugly real quick. I'm talking about brothers and sisters in Christ. Get ugly. But one thing I've learned, they're not my enemy when they get ugly. They in the wrong, but they're still not my enemy. Satan's my enemy. He's the one I'm going to have to battle. Your responsibility is, in church, is to forgive one another. To help each other. To lift each other up. Not get bent out of shape when somebody's ugly to you. Or I'm going to go home. Or I'm going to leave. No. That's just not going to work. Now, let's get back to the lesson. Remember I said that they had an army. Israel had an army. Israel was a nation. We are a nation. We have an army. But God has an army. You and I are in the army of God. 2 Timothy 2 and 3, you've heard this before. Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So we're always going to be in the battle. But I want you to take notice what I just said and what I just read. First of all, you got to be battle-hardened in order to win the battle. I'm going to tell you, you got to be. Bible says here, be thou strong. Be courageous. You got to be battle-hardened. And the only way you're going to do it is go through conflicts and trials and troubles on every hand. But you got to be a good soldier, listen, of Jesus. Not me. Not one sitting next to you. You got to be the soldier of Jesus that you would, that He would be proud of you for being a soldier in an army. Somebody was a cavalry. What do you think? I wonder how many Christians are cowards. They're not in the battle. They're not fighting. They're not courageous. They're not strong. Today and age we live in, the church is weakest I've ever seen. One thing is because we face so much and we deal with so much. But still, God says to be strong, be courageous, be a good soldier that's been battle-hardened. Next of all, I want you to take notice in verse 5, I want you to look at this, and we're going to come back to this later. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will never fail thee nor forsake thee. God encourages Joshua here in a most wonderful way. He said he would be with him. He would never forsake him. He would never leave him. Well, do we have the same promise? Huh? What God told us. He'd never leave us. He'd never forsake us. He's going to be with us. Well, why do we get wimpy? Why do we back up and not get into battle? Why don't we stand for Jesus when we need to? Why don't you witness when God tells you to witness to somebody? Why don't you work in church when God gives you a spiritual gift? Why don't you do what God wants you to do? You ain't got to worry about me. You ain't got to worry about anybody else. You have to worry about you. What God wants you to do. To do His commandment for you. But I want you to look at something in verse 8. And we're going to come back to some of these other scriptures here in just a minute. The book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Now, I want you to realize something. The scripture here was actually, Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. Joshua had the first five books of the Bible. God had given him all that he needed to win the battle. God has given you and I a lot more than Joshua ever had. We have the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been born again spiritually. We have the Holy Ghost living in you and I. And we have the whole Word of God even telling us how to put an armor on, how to tell us to do this and tell us to do that, and we do not do it. We do not do the commandments that God has told the church to do. First of all, how many of us meditate on God's Word continually? You ever just sit down and think about the book? You ever just sit down and just kind of meditate on who God really is? How great He is? The God that you and I serve? Now, as we look at this, we all need to fight the fight in the battle. And the only way you're going to be able to fight this battle is you're going to have to meditate on this precious Word of God. You're going to have to do it. That's the number one thing you're going to have to do. But also, you're going to have to be courageous in possessing the spiritual battles that you do. Now, it's something else I want to bring out here real quick, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but the book of Ephesians tells us about all the riches and the spiritual blessings that we have. Do you know you're going to have to fight for them? God's got them for you, just like He had the land of Israel. Canaan for Israel. He's got all these spiritual blessings for you and I. And we expect God just to, boom. No. Don't work that way. You're going to have to fight for them. You're going to have to earn them. You're going to have to win the spiritual battles that God put you in. Have you ever had a spiritual battle you won and how great it was? It's kind of nice when you do win. But it's awful when you fall and hit the ground. I know. That's what I'm saying. But also, I want you to notice something else about work. There is no honor without work. Now, you can sit on the bench all you want, but there's no honor in that. Do you realize that? Take our nation. Everybody feels like they're entitled. They give money. Everybody wants something for free. They want this. They want that. You and I that have worked and still work, what do you think about somebody sitting on their hiney and drawing money that you actually paid in to pay them to sit on their hiney? You don't like it, do you? Well, is it any different for a Christian to sit down on the stool of do nothing and not work? It's a shame. I mean, it really is. It's a shame. Even your kids. We taught our kids to work. I taught my children they had to work. I made them work. And my wife made them work. And if they got bored, I never would forget. Nancy'd send them outside and make them rake pine straw. They didn't get bored too often. There was no such word as getting bored. And God forbid, when I grew up, I never even knew the word existed. Because we always had to work. My joy was when Mama says, "Hit the door, son, I don't want to see you." And buddy, she didn't see me, they had to call us in at dark. You've heard the old tales. "Woo, son." And they'd holler. I knew what I had to do. had to go running. Had to go on. But son, I didn't go home during the daytime. I knowed what would happen. They'd put me back to work. And I didn't want that. And I'll be honest with you. But you cannot serve God without being obedient. It's impossible to serve God unless you're in the will of God, being obedient to the will of God. You will not serve Him or get into battle whatsoever. You have to be obedient. And I'm amazed at this, at how many of us are disobedient to our Lord and Savior, including me when I say this. Now, one reason I want to say this, I want you to think about this. 2 Timothy, you've heard this. Study thyself to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, but I want you to take notice again what I just said. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You don't have to prove it to me. You don't have to prove it to one sitting next to you. But you do have to prove it to God. See, that's where we miss the boat. We think we're doing it because we're told to do it. We do it because we're told to do it. But God wants you to do it of your own free will because it is a commandment He has commanded you to do for your good. Because it's a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided. The book of James, 2nd, verse 18, says, yea, a man may say that thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. In other words, when you really believe what God says in this book, you will have works. You will be obedient. Now, Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, listen to this, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In other words, people out there that sees your good works will give God honor and glory. And that's how you honor God in glory, by giving Him good works. Let your light shine out in the world that they may see the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no work without encouragement. I want you to stop and think about this just for a minute. Everybody has to be encouraged. Me, you, it doesn't matter who it is. The preacher, he needs encouragement. How many times have you heard him? He said, well, I needed preaching too. He needed encouragement. We all do. We all need to be undergirded and helped. Look at verse 5. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. In other words, God is encouraging Joshua. You and I, nobody can stand and beat God spiritually. We're in a spiritual battle. Remember that. We need to encourage. Now, how are we encouraged? We're encouraged by the preaching. How many times has pastor got up and really preached the book and it touched your heart, opened your eyes, and that you're able to see certain things that you have never seen? I always called it, or convicted me about something that keeps me in between the ditches. It encourages me. It helps me. But also, you are encouraged by teaching. That's why we want our children to be taught. They feel more secure when they are taught, when you are taught and preached to. Not only that, one another in order to be strong in the battle. Encourage one another. Be thou strong. Be courageous. Do what God will have you to do. It'll help you. To be very strong, you have to be obedient. Not only to know God's will for your life and mine, but submitting one to another. The Bible tells you and I to submit one to another. I'm going to tell you something. Nobody I know of, including me, likes to submit. It's not in my nature. I'll be the first one to tell you. It just ain't there. Before I got saved, I didn't submit. When I got saved, I had to submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. But submitting one to another would be one of the best blessings that you'll ever learn as a Christian, is learning to be humble and submitting. You want to be a strong Christian? It ain't arrogance, and it ain't pride. It's just not. It's being humble. And I've told you before, listen, God don't have to have me to teach. He don't need me. He allows me to teach. And I thank Him for allowing me to teach His Word. It's a blessing. Oh yeah, it's a burden sometimes. Don't get me wrong. These battles I got to face with it, just like anything else. But it's a blessing. But also, when you're not obedient, it shows a lack of faith in the Savior that you serve. Not only does it show a lack of faith, it shows a lack of interest in your church, in your life, and how you live it. And I'll say this again. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night is the Lord's house set aside for you and I to come to serve Him, to worship Him, to uplift Him, to learn, to grow. Now, I need it, and I have to have it. Now, I will tell you this, and I'm as honest as I know how to be. Sometimes I'll use Sunday night. We'll get out and do a few things or piddle a little bit between church. And I just don't want to go in and get ready to go to church. I just don't. I don't want to drive all the way over here. I'll be the first one to tell you. But I do it anyway. Because I know it's good for me. Not only that, if you ever miss, listen, this is what gets me. Seems like every time I miss church, I miss one of the best services we had. And I can't ever go back and get it. You will not ever go back and get that service that you missed. No matter who you are. You just don't have it. Also, you will not be sufficient without obedience. Also, you will not be sufficient without meditating on God's Word. We are responsible, listen to me, for what you know. You are responsible for what you know in this book. I'm responsible for what I know. You're responsible for what you know. And there's something I want to bring out for an example. Now, some of you, for an example, maybe have a job. You have to have a test every once in a while to do something. Maybe to for another job. Okay? Just say, well, I'll use Brother Randall. He's my buddy. He was talking to me about his driving license test that he didn't study. And what happened to poor old Randall because he didn't study? He failed that test. Well, not only did he fail it the first time, he didn't study for the second one. Guess what happened to poor old Randall? Well, he told me, he said, I got wise enough. He said, I studied for that next and I passed it. All right. Sorry, Randall. But anyway, it's the same principle. If you don't study this book and God sends a test your way, you're going to fail it. You're not going to fail. How many of you have ever failed His test? How many times have you ever brought it back around and around and around and around? Yeah. Spiritual battles. You're in a spiritual battle for your kids. We're in a spiritual battle for this country that we've never, ever been in. You're going to have to be strong. The church has got to be courageous. It has got to be strong. Our prayer life, apparently, I'll just use me. It must be weak. Because I pray and I pray and, oh, I just don't see Him move at times. God, where are You? But what I'm learning is, He's still listening. He still hears. And He knows where we're at. So I'm going to keep on and on. I'm going to keep beseeching Him. I'm going to keep praying for our country. I'm going to keep praying for our church. I'm going to keep praying for my kids. They need Him. My grandkids need him. Listen, you have to be strong. You've got to study. You've got to be obedient. You've got to do what God has commanded you to do. You've got to work and do what God wants you to do. Also, as we look at verse 9, let's go to verse 9. He says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." You know, that little word dismayed is kind of amazing. Kind of goes back to me of standing in awe of something that we can't handle or we can't realize. For an example, what did he say? Be strong, be of courage. And why did he say, be not dismayed? For the Lord, in other words, don't have unbelief or be in awe of the battle that you're in. Because God is with thee, what? Whithersoever you go. God is with you. That is amazing to me, is how we have a God that will never leave us, never forsake us, is going to be with us wherever we go, no matter what we're going through, no matter what. It's amazing. I want you to think of something else that God has done for you and me. When we study the Bible and the miracles that Jesus did, it's not for us to get excited about the miracles He's done. What it's for is the Bible is showing you and trying to teach you of what so great a God that you have and what He is capable of doing, not you. What He is capable of doing. Now you think about that one. I'm amazed at that. Our faith is on which you and I stand. We live by faith. But we should have a stronger faith than any Christians of any decade. Because we have a God that has given us more than He ever gave the people in the past. That's amazing as we look at this. Also, verse 5. Back to verse 5 for a second. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So I was with Moses, I will be with thee, and I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Now, I want you to think about this. That's on a personal basis. He told Joshua this. That's personal. God has told you and I also on this same personal basis. That He's not going to do this. I know, and I've heard people say it, I've said it. I've been in a situation, God, where'd you go? I didn't know where He went. I couldn't get in touch with Him. Seemed like it. Prayers couldn't even get past the ceiling. But, deep down, I knew that He was there. Always. Have you ever thought what it would be like if our God forsaken us? Have you ever just pondered on that for a minute? What would it be like? Oh, me. We murmur and we moan and complain, but God's done promised. And we take it for granted. Because we know when you get down to it, that He's what? Faithful on what He says He's going to do. He's faithful. In our spiritual battles, it's amazing to me how you and I, we have the formula, we have the Word of God, we have it all, and yet we complain. More and more at times. Now, also, you have no excuse Because God has given us everything to win the battle. No matter what we're in, God's given us every resource to win the battle. Now, I want to ask you this. How many of you are good armchair quarterbacks? I'm a pretty good one. Especially when it comes to Alabama. Now, I know you Georgia fans are the same too. Auburn. Or when that quarterback throws a ball, receiver wide open, got a touchdown, and he drops it. What do you do? Oh, Lord. I could have done better than that. Moan and groan and fuss about that receiver dropping that ball. About him failing to do his job. But as you and I know, we have the greatest quarterback that ever was, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But here's the thing. When I fail and when I drop the ball, He don't fuss on me. He don't put me down. He don't hammer me when I sin. He convicts me of my sin. And when I fail, He reaches down. Says, come on up, son. I got you. Let's get back in the battle. And let's take another step. That's kind of amazing when you stop and think about it. Oh, I'm out of time. I mean, I'm sorry. Running over a little bit. I'll quit and give up. But I want you to think about one thing, and I'll just leave this with you. You know, we talk about fear a lot of times. We're not, fear is a reaction to things we do, but also there is a fear that we need to do. And that fear is to distrust ourselves, because I know who I am and how much I can fail. May the good Lord bless you. I'll quit.